This is Chick Flick Fix. I'm Julia Scott.
And I'm AJ Knox.
We watch chick flicks and rom-coms and decide if they need fixing. Can we make them better or can we make them weird? This week, we're doing a sort of segue from musical May to jump to June, which also we're now in June because somebody got their vaccine, which she's very happy about, but also knocked her out and made recording difficult. We're talking
and
about...
somebody has a baby. Which makes recording difficult.
Yes. I was trying to only throw myself under the bus.
No, throw away. Yeah. Yeah.
We are talking about Mamma Mia from 2008. It's directed by Phyllida Lloyd and written by Katherine Johnson, who also directed and wrote, respectively, the musical, which opened in 1999 in the West End in London. And I think that's kind of interesting because I feel like, you know, directing stage and directing movies is very different. And the same with writing for stage and for movies. I'm not saying people can't do it. I just think it's really interesting.
Yeah, to make that leap, although looking at her wiki, it's like literally, it's notable works. Mamma Mia. I mean, if you're going to become a millionaire off anything.
Mm-hmm. It stars Meryl Streep, Amanda Seyfried, Pierce Brosnan, Stellan Skarsgård. I could go on and on because this is the definition of star-studded.
Yeah.
Pierce Brosnan had no idea what he was signing on to. They just said that the producers told him that it was being filmed in Greece and that Meryl Streep was in it. And Brosnan, this is from Wikipedia, Brosnan said that he would have signed on for anything involving Streep, describing her as that gorgeous blonde I fancied terribly in drama school, which I think is very funny.
Oh, how cute. Also... like, did he not know it was a musical? Did his agent not know it was a musical?
I don't know, but the critics knew that he was in a musical.
Yep.
I've saved some of the critics' quotes about Brosnan for the end. This is apparently Colin Firth's favorite movie that he... I don't know if it's that he's done or ever. I'm assuming that he's done. And apparently,
man. Yeah, that would be really, that'd be really high ego if you're like, yeah. Oh, my favorite movie, that one I did with Meryl Streep.
He apparently said in an interview that if heaven exists, when he arrives, he wants to hear God say, I personally thought you were very good in Mamma Mia, which I just think is very cute. I like Colin Firth. So obviously, most of the world media focused on the Swedish premiere of this movie, where Anne Fridlingstad and Agneta Fältskog sort of came out of their seclusion. They don't do a lot of public stuff at all, but they joined Björn Ulvaeus and Benny Andersson. This is the A, the B, and the A in ABBA. And that was the first time that all four members of ABBA had been photographed together since 1986.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Sidebar, we just watched the Friends reunion,
mm-hmm.
and they said that is only the second time that all six of them have been in a room together since the finale. And that seems like, come on, guys, like, call each other and, like, make a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, go out to a restaurant once. It's so strange to me that you can spend that much time working with people and then not see them in that group.
Well, I think for the ABBAs, you know, they were all married to each other.
Yeah.
A to the B and the B to the A, or however you want to. So I could see how that would make it weird. And also, yeah. maybe it's the other way around. Like, if you spend that much intense time with people, maybe it's too much, especially if you don't super like each other. I do, though. I like the stories about how I think it was David Schwimmer who, like, unionized the six Friends actors, basically, when he was like, we're all going to ask for raises because it was uneven. Because, you know, they had different amounts of experience and clout. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, we're all going to ask for a raise. And they got some ridiculous amount per episode. And I think he was also like, research? I don't know. But he was the one who was like, no, we should ask for the same amount, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah.
My favorite, possibly, trivia about this movie is that the title font is the same one used by Nirvana on their album covers.
Oh my god, it is. I'm looking at it right now. Oh my god.
Isn't that the best thing you've ever heard?
Is that like, oh my god. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, we'll I'm sure we will share it in our Instagram stories.
That is so good.
Right? It's so funny.
It absolutely is.
So I'm assuming that you had seen this before.
I saw this because what year did it come out? 2008. I feel like my girlfriend at the time and I rented it from the video store down, like, that makes it feel like it was 45 years ago.
Kinda, yeah.
But, no, I kind of have a vivid memory of watching it in her apartment, like, on her little TV in her bedroom.
Yeah, so, for me, we established in the Muriel's Wedding episode that I love ABBA, as all thinking, breathing people do. But there's an extra level of corniness for me here. First is that I saw the stage show in London with my mom in the early 2000s. And then my mom and I saw it in theaters like weeks before she moved to the UK. She and my dad. So parts of it, like the slipping through my finger scene, like parts of it got very sappy. Oh, like it was, because it was both like, hey, we saw this show, which, you know, it's a nice memory. And then it's like, oh yeah, no, we're not going to live in the same place now. So like that is kind of part of it for me watching this still.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And of course, also I was like, I want to go to Greece. I love that, this is actually filmed almost entirely in Greece, as opposed to most movies set in Greece. Yeah.
Is it really? Because I feel like it's, they are,
in random Croatia or something.
There's like a lot of green screen, I feel like.
Well, that I think is just for practical reasons, but like most of the outdoor stuff is shot in Greece, which I think is cool. But watching this, I'm just like, I want to travel. I want to go to Greece. I want to get a sunburn and eat weird ice cream is what I want to do right now.
Weirdly, this made me want to go to Greece. I guess not weirdly, but this made me want to go to Greece more than the
my big fat Greek vacation.
Yeah, my big fat Greek vacation, whatever that was supposed to be.
Although Rita Wilson was a producer for Mamma Mia and has a cameo in it.
Oh, I didn't realize that. She has a cameo? I didn't see her.
She's one of the goddesses, I think, at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the bees is in that scene as a god, and one of them is playing piano by the pier. So, I like weird cameos. What can I say? Do you want to say anything else, or do you want to try and get into...
I'll just say that, like, I watched this maybe a week ago. And it pushed itself out of my brain as it was going into my brain. So my brain felt like a Play-Doh machine where you just like put Mamma Mia in and it just spits it back out. So, you're gonna have to help me.
We can do the 5-minute plot and then talk over talking points if you want.
Sure. Yeah, we can do that.
So basically Amanda Seyfried is getting married. She's invited three men who she thinks are her dad based on her mom's diary.
Right. But, like, to be fair, the opening scene of this movie with her hanging out with her friends and she's, like, talking about, like, oh, the wedding, blah, 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 and I've invited my dads and we're in this beautiful Greek paradise is so green screened that it, like, sets such a weird tone for the rest of the movie for me. Like, it looks so artificial. Just those first few shots. I'm like, it's a weird start.
There's also something about it because, in a way, Sophie is the main character, right? Because she goes on her journey, whatever. But I feel like this is more of, like, an ensemble story. Because, you know, jukebox-style movies often are. Like, it's more about the whole thing. And I feel like the movie sets it up weird. I think it should start with Sophie and her mom. Like, so that you get that this is about them. Because really, Sophie is not the most interesting character here.
No.
And that sets it up to be sort of like a Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants style movie. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's something about that squealing girls thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so she invites these three men. And she hasn't told her mom. They sing a lot. It's funny. Some of it is corny. Dame Julie Walters and Christine Baranski show up and are the best ever. The other two dads are Colin Firth and Pierce Brosnan. They sing some more. Meryl Streep is uncomfortable that they're there.
Hold on. We got to back up because
Am I going too fast?
You're going too fast. Because she runs this hotel. And I feel like this is such a trope, and I've seen it in movies, I've seen it in books, I've seen it all over the place. This idea of like somebody moves to Greece to start a hotel, and I want to know
Tuscany.
I want to know A, how often that happens, and B, like, it does kind of situate her hotel as this kind of rundown, shitty hotel. And I don't know if that's, like, intentional. It reminds me of Spider-Man Far From Home, the one where they go to Venice and they mm-hmm. go to Europe. And when they go into, like, the Venetian hotel, how it's, like, flooded and they're walking across planks to get to the stairs. And they're, I mean, it's very, like, kitschy and artistic and bohemian. But it's also, like, a shithole.
Well, I think... Because I'm like, yeah, like, how are you going to make this work if it's not actually good? Like, yes, it's romantic, but Aunt Sophie and her intended are trying to sort of primarily spruce up the website, not the hotel. But I think because, like, she took it over or, like, started it when Sophie was really small. So I think it's like she hasn't had the money or the know-how to sort of do upkeep. So I don't think it's that, you know, it's just a shithole. It's just that she doesn't know what to do. What really gets – because I know that there are a lot of people who will move somewhere and, like, start a bed and breakfast. And a lot of the times, like, one of them works in IT and works remotely, but they talk about how they left the grind or, like, you know, they have a lot of money saved up, whatever. A lot of the time they will give up within a few years and move back. Sometimes they won't. But what gets me is, like, how? If you're from the U.S., because in this they don't have the backstory from the second movie where I can't remember if she's, like, half English or something.
There's a second movie?
Yeah, Mamma Mia 2. Here we go again. The Mamaning.
Oh, is Cher in that?
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Because Cher was offered a part in this and couldn't do it, and then she was in the second one. You need to see it. It's hilarious.
Oh, no. I'm just looking at the poster, and I'm already...
Anyway, my point is that, like, not in... The timelines are kind of weird here, and they're even weirder in the second movie, so you can't really think about that too much. But whenever it was, you couldn't just, like, be like, I want to stay here as an American citizen in Greece, I don't think. Maybe if you tried to, like, live outside the system somehow... But even so, you know, it's just, it's weird.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. This film, as a number of the films we talk about are, is also just so aggressively white. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those shows, I think if you're in a town that has any, like, number of theaters, and San Diego has a pretty big theater, is a pretty big theater town, everyone does Mamma Mia all the time.
Really?
There's always Mamma Mia happening somewhere. And
it's like San Diego's version of Cats.
Oh my God. It's catnip. It's catnip for old white people. I mean, they love it.
You know, the only thing that saves this from being so annoying that all of the sort of olive skinned people are all background is that they are thusly a Greek chorus. And that is the only thing that makes this okay. Because really, they just come in, you know, and go doo doo doo. Do, do, do. And then there's only rich white people in, like, the main story.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, what would an interesting make it weird be if one of the dads she invited was black? And then you have, like, blonde, blue-eyed Amanda Seyfried. Which can actually happen. It's a genetic weird thing that could happen. Anyway. Yeah. And one of the things that I'm so glad about in this movie, aside from the stupid Greek chorus thing, that is there is never a funny misunderstanding where the men... think that Sophie is coming on to them, or where there's, like, any kind of spark. Because especially when they're, like, riding around on the boat, there's, like, a few scenes where it's like, okay, so this is about 4 seconds away from somebody having a misunderstanding, and it never happens, and I'm so thankful for that.
That's a really good point.
And especially, there is this phenomenon where... apparently, people who are related will, if they meet in adulthood and don't know they're related, will, like, be attracted to each other and interpret that attraction as, like, sexual attraction. Because what it is, I don't know if it's pheromones or something. Whatever. Either way, I'm just glad there's no, like, you know, one person thinks the other is flirting, but really she's maybe his daughter, you know, because it would just, it would have been so uncomfortable.
It reminds me of that 30 Rock episode where Liz Lemon dates her cousin.
But you know what I mean? Like, it feels like that would have been such an easy, like, haha, isn't this funny?
Yes.
Thing to do. So anyway, they tried to do wedding. They tried to sing ABBA. Amanda Seyfried realizes in front of the preacher that, like, hey, maybe I want to see the world instead.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm glad she realized beforehand. Not that being married has to ruin anything. It's just a little tricky to get out of because you can travel the world after you get married as well. But I think because they do sort of touch on, you know, she had this kind of not unstable, but more, you know, chaotic upbringing. And so she wants stability. And also, you know, she has a hippie mother in overalls. So she wants stability. I don't know. And then instead, Meryl Streep and Pierce Brosnan get married. And I'm like, I don't know how.
But they also don't do the paternity test, right?
Because they're like,
you're all my dads.
But canon, and I don't remember if it comes up specifically in the second movie or if it's just like that they've said it publicly. Canon is apparently that Bill, the Swede, is her dad. Which, again, you have two brunette men and one Swede. So what you gonna do?
Yeah.
And this is where I also started looking into, like, how do marriage licenses work in Greece?
Oh, yeah. Because
I know this is a this is a trope everywhere. And most places you can't get married just because the officiant, you know, waves his wand around. You have to, whatever. But you can still have the ceremony.
Yeah. Well, and you forget that as they're all dancing at the wedding, they destroy the foundation of the plaza that they're dancing in, and what I assume is faulty plumbing water shoots up the sky.
No, it's Athena's fountain of love and youth or something.
I'm going to assume it's a sewer.
It's poop water, yeah.
And they're all dancing around in poop water at the end.
And also, like, everything is up the side of steep cliffs. You're going to, like, tumble down in this horrible avalanche. Yeah,
that's going to be very expensive to fix.
Mm-hmm. Or they, like, just put paint gold along the sides of the crack, and they're like, it's like kintsugi. Those pottery
things?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that stuff. That is such a cool, yeah.
So, I mean, if you think about a trope here, like, a main trope is the who's my dad. And or like reunions.
Yeah, it's also like who is, at the same time, it's kind of like, who is Meryl Streep going to fall in love with? And
are they going to get married? And
there's also the whole, like, she's got her two friends, and then, you know, there's three men there. So it becomes pretty clear, like, okay, at some point there's like it's going to be very like Shakespeare, end of a Shakespeare play. Everybody's going to pair off. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening. And obviously we got to make sure we talk about the music too and like the songs.
Yeah, some of the songs, because, you know, it always is fun when you do, you know, like it's, I don't know, whatever the opposite of Mad Libs is, I guess, where you fill in the between stuff. And you're like, how can we sort of, you know, you draw out the structure and then you maybe rearrange it some more. And my favorite part of movies like this, where it's like a classical musical in that they sing the storyline, it's not performance numbers, is when they have to change the lyrics to make things make sense, like just a little bit, you know, like they change some of the pronouns or like a tiny bit of I don't know why I love that so much, because it's so cheesy, because it's always songs that, like, you know and love, and then they're weird, or suddenly they're a duet, or, you know, it's just,
yeah,
it's very funny.
Didn't we see Moulin Rouge together?
We probably did.
I feel like we went to see Moulin Rouge in the theater, and then while we were watching it, people kept getting up and leaving, because they were like, this is not the movie I wanted to see. They're singing in it.
It's a very good movie. I think I saw it several times in theaters.
I remember, like, I feel like our whole thespian troupe, everyone saw it a million times.
Probably.
That was the hotness of 1999, 2000, whatever that came out.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you have a favorite number in
So just for like sheer dumb goofiness of it, I actually really do like Mamma Mia because it's like, hey, Mom, I invited these three guys. And she's like, oh, Mamma Mia. And then she's like running across rooftops. And she falls into, like, falls through the roof into, of course, she falls through the roof onto a mattress with the room the three guys are in. I mean, that's just so, like, so corny and campy. And, like, they had to have known how goofy it looked.
And there's something else about, like, this is, you know, all but in name, Dame Meryl Streep doing this, yes, right?
Exactly. Like, there's something about her throwing herself into this. And she is, it kind of dawned on me, because I remember seeing Into the Woods and thinking, like, I mean, Meryl Streep's a good singer. I don't think of her as a singer, though. Like, it's weird, you know. But then I realized, oh, she did a stage production of Brecht's Mother Courage, directed by Tony Kushner, and he turned it into like a rock musical, kind of like she like came in like singing, so it like she can do it. It's just like it always feels like it's character work, and so it's kind of interesting to see her blend a little bit of like kind of bigger character work with her normal kind of like I'm a really friggin' good actor.
I feel like even through so much of the corniness and the uncomfortable singing in some, I really feel like people are having so much fun in this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like even the one number that kind of like surprised me at how, you know, not a showstopper it was Dancing Queen.
I love, you know, Dancing Queen though, because it's like, it's one of those, for me, it's like a goosebump number because it's kind of simply done, but yeah, just like exactly. Woman after woman after woman, just like coming into this, huge, I don't know what you would even call it, running of the bulls type. Like it's just more and more and they go down to the, you know, down to the water and they have this like fun choreography. And you just imagine that the women who lived in this actual village were, you know, roped in. So they didn't just have the extras who were up at the hotel, but just like, you know, random, you know, grandma who tosses off her bundle of sticks and joins.
Yeah.
It's just so happy and it's so cheery. I think though, my favorite number is, Lay All Your Love on Me because of the bachelor party dudes who show up and just do like something about like flipper choreography, like they're wearing, you know, diving gear. Something about that is just so funny.
That is really good.
But there's just like so many fun numbers.
Yeah, I mean it is definitely like there is a lot of fun, and I do think even in the, like, to go back to the Meryl Streep thing, before Dancing Queen, there's like this moment of them kind of like that her and her friends just kind of like bantering. And that's where you're like, oh, they're just having fun. It almost felt like watching three actors improv. You know, like, oh, like Rosie, was it Rosie and Tanya?
Yeah.
First of all, Rosie is, I'm jumping ahead, she's my favorite character in the whole movie. She's so funny. But yeah, they're just like having fun.
I love her too, but this is my main like quarrel with this movie actually, is that I love her for most of the movie, but I wish that they had written the flirtation between her and,
oh, yeah,
and Bill as actually flirtatious, because it would have been really easy to write it as like, well, they're both kind of into it and it's a little bit back and forth and like he doesn't know what he wants. Here, it just feels predatory.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cougary.
Yeah. Cause like for Tanya, like she's being flirted with, you know, with this young boy, but the way the number is written, it doesn't feel predatory because he's the one who's trying to chase after her and she's having this, well, exactly that kind of sort of playful back and forth. Do I, don't I, I'm old enough to be your older sister. You know what I mean? Like it's, and that doesn't feel predatory, and it very easily could have, both with the song that is chosen and the way like it's choreographed and played. But yeah. Rosie, and part of me is also like, is it because we're supposed to read it as like, well, she's not glamorous, you know, like she has short hair and doesn't wear skirts or whatever, where it could be like they're both sort of travel and food writers, they should get along great. Yeah. Or I mean, they don't have to hook up, it doesn't have to be Shakespearean, but just I don't like the chasing after, like the aggressiveness of that chasing after. And I think we're supposed to read it as just funny because the power structure, yeah, she's a woman, it's still not cute.
It does hit that.
And I don't like that this movie makes me dislike Julie Walters, because I love Julie Walters. And it would have been fairly easy to just make it a little more
just
double, like both sides are actually sort of maybe into it, you know?
Right. Or like they're ships in the night type of thing where, mm-hmm, you know, they could have definitely, yeah, absolutely.
So if we have, you know, sort of two main couples, so for Sophie and Sky, do we care about them that much?
No.
As a couple?
No.
Because they're babies?
I absolutely don't care about, like, he pops up, what, like 30 minutes, like a third of the way through the movie, and he's like, hey, I'm the fiancé. Bye. And then he just keeps popping in just randomly, and like the film isn't about them. That's the thing. It's, the film is about Sophie and her dads and
Donna.
I just keep blanking on everybody's name. Yeah, it's about that family,
mm-hmm,
and the dads more than anything, I feel like. So I'm like, he's there. He serves a purpose. Like the wedding is a reason to get the dads here.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, I don't give a shit. You know they're gonna get married. There's not a whole lot of like, or you know, they're like
meant to get married.
That is, yeah.
There's not huge conflict where it's like, where he's a little upset that she didn't tell him.
Right.
But it's not a huge thing. I don't know. So Donna and Donna and her dudes, how do we feel about them?
Donna and her dudes is a way better name for this movie, by the way. Can we just rename this Donna and her dudes?
Yeah. Donna and the dad dudes.
Donna and the dads.
Benny and the Jets.
The dads.
Donna and the dads.
It works perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Is
that our Make It Weird? This is now an Elton John movie.
Yep. Oh my god, it would be amazing. An Elton John version of Mamma Mia called Donna and the Dads.
I'm here for it.
Or maybe it's okay, it's an Elton John musical about Benjamin Franklin inventing
airplanes. I think this is no longer a Make It Weird of this movie, but I'm here for it. It could also be that he invents a jacuzzi.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah, yeah. That's much more, that's like a much more intimate movie.
Okay, Donna. Like, this movie is just sort of high cheese, high camp, and 100%. I love it. And again, Meryl Streep, she, I think, really plays the balance of like sort of stage acting and cheese,
yes,
with like, because it is hard to, musical acting is hard, movie musical acting is even harder, and mm-hmm, then when it is like jukebox songs, like you can't do whatever you want with them, you know,
mm-hmm,
and then also you're singing playback, so you have to like first emote in studio and then find the same emotion and emoting when it's being like all of these things, and I feel like she takes this seriously, and that's why she has fun.
Yeah, yeah. I had a director once tell me, and I believe in this, particularly with theater. But he said, having fun won't make it good, but making it good will make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm saying that this movie is great, but like you can tell that like Meryl Streep isn't just like showing up to cash her check. She's doing her Meryl Streep thing, and she's committed to it, so she is having fun.
Mm-hmm. And she is, I think she also is using a lot of her stage experience here,
mm-hmm,
because this still feels very stagey, because it has like certain types of beats and certain corniness. And she, again, like I think she manages to find both the sort of stage acting and movie acting in her performance. I mean, she's,
yeah,
Meryl Streep. What are you gonna?
Yeah, and there is that weird thing that like all of the actors are on a different kind of, like, some of them are much more in a play where the acting's a lot bigger, and some of them are much more in a film where the acting's a lot smaller. There's not a lot of consistency.
And but I like the dads. I think, funnily enough, Pierce Brosnan is the least interesting of them, and he gets basically no backstory. He's like, oh, I'm a businessman. Okay.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Bill has, like, he lives on a boat. He's a writer. Yeah. He's, you know, kind of weird. And Colin Firth, he was some sort of punk, and he, you know, pretty much comes out as gay at the end without it feeling like a ha-ha funny joke. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's the other two dads, the beta dad, I don't know. They're way more interesting. We talk about how a lot of the time the romantic couple are the least interesting people in a lot of mm-hmm. romantic movies. And here, like, Donna is, you know, she's fun to watch. And Pierce Brosnan is just Pierce Brosnaning
yeah.
around. Like, it's fun to watch him, but not reason that you would want to.
Yeah, except for the song that they sing together. What is that?
SOS.
SOS. And he's doing this, like, weird, like, it's almost like he's trying to make his mouth do the vibrato kind of shaky thing. Do you know what I mean? It seems, like, really intentional.
And he's doing this aggressive growl, which is not quite right for the song.
Right. And his voice is just very, very clearly auto-tune. Mm-hmm. Like,
two within an inch. Okay, I have to read that. I have to read the reviews.
Can we hear these quotes?
So, his singing was compared to a water buffalo in New York Magazine, a donkey braying in the Philadelphia Inquirer, and a wounded raccoon in the Miami Herald.
I just like how two of those are, like, actions that or, like, characteristics of animals, and then one of them is just water buffalo.
And Matt Brunson of Creative Loafing Charlotte said he... quote, looks physically pained choking out the lyrics as if he's being subjected to a prostate exam just outside of the camera's eye, end quote.
Amazing. Amazing. And not wrong. Not incorrect.
And I think it's because he isn't taking the movie seriously. He's taking himself seriously, which is not the same thing at all. That right? Is,
yeah.
Whereas, like, Colin Firth is not an amazing singer. He's very sweet when he's, like, just playing his guitar and doing, like, small singing. He's not bad, but he's not amazing. But he is just, like, he's doing it. He's, you know, he's there for it. He's like, yes, this is cheesy. I am Colin Firth. I am cheese and also a very good actor. You know what I mean? And the same, like, Skarsgård is, you know, he's just like, it's ABBA. It's fun. What's weird? I'm in Greece. You know, like, they're just.
Yeah.
And Skarsgård is not a singer, I would say. But he's also just
he's
like.
He's already, like, such a weird, interesting guy anyway. That this feels like, why not?
Yeah. But then, like, for side character, like, again, Christine Baranski is just.
Yeah.
She is all the gold stars and chef's kisses and everything she does. She's so fun here with, like, her and she more than Julie Walters, but both of them do kind of have that sort of absolutely fabulous flair to it. They're just hilarious. And there is some sort of mean joking in between them about, like, how many marriages and how, but it's in that way where, you know, they love each other intensely. They've loved each other for, you know, 20, 30 years. Mm-hmm. They're close. And I wish it was clearer how often they manage to meet up, because, you know, I want to know, like, because they are very close, and this is, you know, not pre-internet but early internet days, so they're not probably not Facebook friends. And I want to know, both for, like, the story and how it builds, but just because I care about these women, I want to know, like, how long has it been since they saw each other, and even more, kind of like with ABBA, I guess, and Friends, how long has it been since all three of them were together at the same time? Because that's also important, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming that Donna never really leaves the island, because she doesn't really have, you know, a lot of employees or a lot of money. So the other two would come to her, which feels like an okay thing to do. Probably easier for Rosie in some ways.
You know, but then again, I love them. Tanya has lots of money.
I think my favorite character in this whole movie is the little old Yaya, who throws off her bundle of sticks and trundles along with the Dancing Queen crowd.
Yeah, she's like a great... That's just like a great little tiny little moment.
Do you have a favorite character?
I mean... It's probably... it's probably Rosie.
Mm-hmm. I think both and I see ourselves in Rosie.
I remember thinking that when I saw it, too, the first time. I was like, man, Molly Weasley...
I was just going to say that.
...is really good in this movie. Yeah, I mean...
That is a make it weird.
Oh, that, like, she is just Molly Weasley?
She's just Molly Weasley. She's very confused by so much of the Muggle stuff, but she's very enthusiastic, having so much fun. Because she did, like, an exchange year... at a Muggle school together with Tanya and Donna.
Is this, like, canonically also taking place after Battle of Hogwarts? The Harry Potter series?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, they've already beaten Voldemort. Things are...
Well, I mean, the Battle of Hogwarts is, like, in 1998-99, which is when stage play...
So this could be, like, she's like, I need to... I'm going on vacation with... I'm getting a haircut. I'm going on vacation with my friends.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, and like her cookbooks, like she has stuff stirring all and, you know, magically being stirred in the kitchen when she's doing recipe testing.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. I love it. That's great.
End of the podcast. Yeah. No. Rosie is fun. I want to watch her movie. That's a good like sequel.
Yeah. I kind of want to watch a movie with Rosie and Tanya, like to see, because to me, they are the two most intriguing characters and most interesting characters. And next to, I mean, yeah, Meryl Streep is great. We've already talked about that. But
you like, want to watch them like go on a road trip
with like Stellan Skarsgård and Colin Firth.
Yes. Yes.
Like, just
yes.
Like the four to me, the four most interesting characters on a Greek road trip. Or on a European vacation of some kind.
I'm here for
it. I would absolutely watch that. But I'd say those are my top four.
I feel like it's hard to like talk about favorite parts because basically we talked about our favorite songs and there's not, I think, that much in between to talk about, right?
Yeah, I mean what we would call the scenes between the songs or whatever they're there. They're just there to like get us to the book is just there to get us to the next song.
But I do think it's funny how they've sort of put them together. Like it's not bad. It's not as forced as it could be, as it has been.
That is true.
So the end, I mean, there are sort of two ends to this movie. You have the end of the story and then you have the end of the movie. And I'm sure you've seen Mamma Mia if they put it on all the time in San Diego.
I have not. But the theater I used to work for, I believe, is doing it. And so...
Are you going to go?
I want to support them, and I love that theater. I will probably go watch it and have my first theatrical Mamma Mia experience.
Okay. Well, the stage show, usually... I don't know if people change it. I don't know if they can. It does end with the disco number of them dressing up in like the disco outfits and doing it and like dancing out into the audience. And it's like, you can't not get swept up in that. It's just so much fun. Cause also like you went to see Mamma Mia. You're going to be into it. Right.
Yeah.
But just the disco numbers at the end, they are so fun. They're just so fun. Like how can you not be happy watching that? Like how could you not? The end of the story, I think we already just like, it's kind of, it's very corny, it's very cheesy, it's very like, you know, textbook. Oh, well, let's not get married. Oh, well, while we're here, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, there's a party after that. There's the party after that where they sing the Take a Chance on Me and
they break the floor.
Yeah. Okay. So the breaking of the floor is just like, where you're like, I would love a cleanup scene. The next day.
Just like the music hits the button. It's like da da bump. And then it just cuts from night to like early morning. And it's just like one dude just paving the road. Just like trying to.
Like what is that? Yeah.
Just quiet. It's like a bird's chirping in the background.
Okay. How many platform boots would you give this out of 10?
Are we doing this in pair? Is this like, or just single boots?
Just one boot. Because I will say, on Rotten Tomatoes, this has a 55% fresh rating from critics.
Checks out.
And a 66% fresh rating from audiences. And checks a 6.4 on IMDb. So how many Swedish flags out of 10 do you give this?
Are we counting individual stripes, or are we the
There's no stripes. This, it's just the cross thing.
Okay, it's six. It's fine. It's I didn't hate it. I didn't terribly enjoy it. There's a couple fun songs. Meryl Streep's fun. Some characters are fun. Yeah. I felt so middling about this movie.
I think I give it seven flags and one of those thin, streamy things that you put on boats sometimes.
Okay.
So like 7.5-ish, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. That's fair.
I acknowledge that this is not, you know, a cinematic, artistic experience masterpiece type thing. It's not.
No.
But it's fun. It is, like, on the, ooh, does this make me happy scale, this is it. You know, like, it's just, I can't be in a bad mood after a while. I can cry a little, and because, you know, you're like, oh, friends and they're traveling, but yeah. And yeah. Let's not read more mean quotes about Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, I really like Pierce Brosnan generally as an actor. I think he's very good. This is not his movie.
And I also think they should have had an American actor in his part, because it's weird that it's two Brits and one of them lives in America. Like,
yeah,
it's, I don't know why. It's just like it offends my sense of order and like balance.
You know what? Yeah. Well, maybe this is my make it better, but like I would have loved each of those three guys to be much more caricatures.
Mm hmm.
Like, just go, like one of them is like a Texas oil baron. Stellan Skarsgård is already doing a pretty good job.
Of being weird.
Of being weird. So maybe keep him as the Swede or the Australian if you're doing that. And then, like, then Colin Firth's British character is just.
Or just maybe, like, an incredibly offensive Italian stereotype.
Oh, yeah. Just something really just over the top.
A Russian.
Oh, that would be great. Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, my fix is basically, like, that to de-predatorize Rosie. Just have that, like, be, like, a little confused flirtation, because then her chasing after him doesn't feel unpleasant.
Yeah.
Because it would be a fun scene if they had already flirted a bit. And he's just like, oh, I don't know. Because then, Take a Chance on Me, the song is, you know, mildly flirty. It's not mm-hmm. an aggressive song in the lyrics. It's more like, hey, you know, I'm yeah. here if you got nothing better to do. But your fix is to make the dads more fun.
Yeah. And now that you said depredatorize, my make it weird is to repredatorize this movie and introduce the predator. And
okay.
Just all the same songs, but we're in. Yeah, I guess Predator could go to Greece. Predator's in Greece.
Yeah,
I was gonna say we were in a jungle, but no, I'm like, no, like we can keep it in Greece. We can keep the whole thing, except one of the husbands is the Predator.
Okay.
And SOS is just Donna running from him as he's trying to murder her with his laser beam gun thing.
Okay. Fair enough. So I've already suggested a few on the spot. Make it weird, but so the movie opens and closes on the song "I Have a Dream," right?
Yes,
because like she's in the boat, and it's so that song has the lyric "I cross the stream," which made me for the first time yell out on my couch, "Never cross the stream!
Never cross the streams, Ghostbusters!"
So this is now instead a Ghostbusters crossover, because there's a ghost in the mountain that's causing all the cracks in the foundations and the pavements, and it making it happen. Maybe there's many ghosts. I mean, probably a lot of people have died in that village. Maybe they're trickster ghosts. Chaos ensues. Or at least one of the dads is in fact a ghost.
Amazing. Amazing. Because you know what I'm picturing? I'm picturing Bill Pullman's ghost from Casper. Like the weird caricature of Bill Pullman that they make. Whereas like Casper does not look like Devon Sawa or whatever that kid's name was.
Mm-hmm.
Like Casper looks like Casper and the brothers look like the cartoon characters, and then Bill Pullman like actually looks just like a caricature of Bill Pullman. Also, that movie has Ghostbuster cameos in it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just, Ghostbusters cross. What if it was Ghostbusters and Predator?
Oh, yeah. We just go, like, full spooks on this one? Yeah.
What could we else put in there? Some sort of mad scientist?
Mummy Mia.
All right, that's it. We have to close down the podcast. We will never, ever top that.
But, well, and of course, then we wouldn't have ABBA songs. It would be rap music. I'm so sorry.
I didn't hear that.
I'll see myself out.
Or everyone is in a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it. Oh, I love it.
Oh, good Lord. What did we learn from this movie, AJ?
Oh, I learned that, like, even Meryl Streep can kind of salvage a movie that I'm not super in. Like, if she was not in this, it would have been a lower score for
me.
I'm trying to think
she definitely boosts it. Who could, like...
I'd also have Bernadette Peters. Bernadette Peters would have been great.
Or, like, it would be really funny if it was, like, you know, Kate Blanchett or somebody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I could see that.
Just to
be, like, go full on somebody, you know, who I think people see as even more serious.
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to watch the sequel?
If I'm told to.
AJ, watch the sequel.
Oh, frig. All right.
I learned that apparently AJ will watch things if I tell him to.
Basically what this podcast is.
That's true. I learned that this is still a very happy movie. And I like ABBA. Like, it's very simple. Next week, we're talking about Last Holiday. You can find our show notes. I don't know if we'll be putting up Nirvana posters next to movie posters, but possibly. You can find all that at theincomparable.com/chickflickfix. We're chickflickfix on Twitter and Instagram. And if you give us a rating and a review where you do your listening, or I guess if there's some sort of external blog that does, I don't know. And subscribe if you're not subscribed. All of the things. Hit the notification bell, etc. We'll be back next week, hopefully. I don't have another vaccine booked yet. Say goodbye, AJ.
Goodbye, AJ.